Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to jump into something. So I just pray, Lord, that you would just have your way, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would just hear what you have to say this morning, because it's about you, and so I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just rest on us and just speak to our hearts and speak to our minds and just show us your love, in Jesus' name, amen. So, this thing's hot. We're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about the armor of God this morning. So, I'm going to have Eric read us some scriptures, and then we'll jump into where I'm going to go. So can you guys read them scriptures, Eric?
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador. Pray fearlessly.
And that scripture says, our fight is not against flesh and blood. And I'm going to say this a couple times this morning because I wanted to get in our spirits. The fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, rulers, and high places, you know. And so many times, it's like the enemy, you know, gets us fighting against each other. And that's not what the Lord wants. You know, the Lord wants us to take care of each other and to love each other, you know, and he wants us to keep away from the schemes of the enemy. So I was actually walking down the road one day, and the Lord started talking to me about the whole armor of God. And it's funny because he actually talked to me about putting on the helmet first. And I thought that was interesting because the helmet of salvation, it protects our mind. You know, if you think about a motorcyclist, if they're driving down the road and they have a helmet on, and if they wreck that bike, that helmet's going to protect their brain. It's going to protect their mind. If they don't have that helmet on, guess what? It's not going to protect their brain. It's, you know. So it's the same thing with, you know, the helmet of salvation is putting the word on, because that protects our mind, you know, and it keeps the enemy out of our mind frames. So then the Lord started talking to me about the breastplate of righteousness, because if you put the breastplate on, it protects your chest, and that protects your heart. So enemy first tries to attack our mind and come against our mind, and then he tries to attack our hearts. And he'll try to penetrate and put things in our hearts that's not supposed to be there. And, you know, it may be offense, it may be bitterness, it may be anger. The enemy likes to put all kinds of stuff in our heart that doesn't belong there. And Jesus says, what I want in your heart is love. The main thing is he wants is love. And so we need to love each other, you know, because when we love each other, the enemy can't get in. The enemy can't create division. He can't create strife. He can't create anger. He can't create bitterness. He can't do any of that. So then it talks, you know, then he talks about the belt of truth. And, you know, the belt of truth is the Lord wants us to have truth. You know, and then he tells us to be ready, to get ready, you know, to have the, to have our shoes ready, to have the gospel ready. So we're ready for the battle. So we're ready when the enemy comes and he starts throwing his fiery darts. And I believe the shield of faith and that go together, because when the enemy comes and starts throwing the fiery darts, we can take them off with the word of God. You know, and the whole word of God is our armor. The whole word of God is our armor. You know, and the gospel, so we're ready. So we're ready when the enemy comes and he starts throwing his darts, saying, you know, you're not good enough. You're not my son. You're not doing the work of the Lord. Because the enemy will come and tell us all kinds of lies. And, you know, we don't have to believe those lies, because we have the word of God. We have the armor of God. And we can throw those things off of us. You know, so the sword of the Spirit is another weapon that the Lord has given to us. The sword of the Holy Spirit is a major weapon, because then we can really fight with all those things intact. You know, with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of righteousness, with the belt of truth, you know, with the gospel, with the sword of the Spirit, we can fight off the enemy. If we don't have those things, we can't fight the enemy. So when, you know, and this is what the enemy does, you know, he'll try to get us to take our weapons and our armor off. He'll try all kinds of things to get you to sit that armor down. Because when you set your armor down, then you're vulnerable. Then you're vulnerable, and the enemy can get you. But if you don't set those weapons down, you're not vulnerable, because you can basically combat the enemy with your weapons. And the Lord was showing me our weapons are mighty by pulling down the strongholds. You know, our weapons are mighty. He's given us those weapons so we can tear down strongholds. And so we can also build God's kingdom. Because when we tear down the strongholds, then we can truly build God's kingdom. So, and he kept saying to me, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty, because the Lord's given us to them. They're not by our strength, they're not by our ways, they're not by our wills, they're by his way, they're by his will, because he's given them to us. So I was praying, seeking the Lord, and one day the enemy really got to me. And he said, why don't you just take your armor off and sit it down? Because you know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to set that armor down so he could get me. And I said, no, I'm not going to set that armor down. I kept putting that armor on, and I kept praying, and I kept seeking the Lord. And there's been several times in the last 2 months that the enemy has tried to get me to take my armor off. And I told the Lord, I'm not going to take it off, because he wants us to have it on. Because we are fighting a battle that we have no idea that we're fighting. And we can't fight it without the Lord. The only way we can fight the battle is with him. You know, so in saying all that, you know, he'll try to get us to come against our brother. Because, like I said, the fight is not against, what did I say? Flesh and blood. You know, the fight is not against our brothers. The fight is against the enemy. So, and I'm actually going to share this. John, are you all right with me sharing? Okay, cool. Okay. So this week I was on the phone with John, and we're talking and I didn't know he was getting sick and stuff, but He tells me to shut up. And I thought he was being kind of smart, to be honest, you know. So I really started getting frustrated with him on the phone. And so then we're talking, and I'm like, John, you've been to the doctor? Because I've been on him about some doctor stuff. And John's like, he's like, I don't want to say nothing I'm not going to say. So I took it in the wrong way. I took it like, man, he don't want to say anything because he's going to say the wrong thing. He's going to say something that's not nice. And that's the way I took it. And then I was really frustrated. And Danielle's on the phone too, and she's like, "Love you," and I'm like, "Yep, goodbye." That's what I did. I'm being honest, you know. So I'm walking down the road, and the Lord says, "You're wrong." Immediately, like as soon as I get off the phone with him, he says, "You're wrong." I said, "Okay, I'm wrong." And the Lord told me immediately I was wrong for the way that I was acting with John. Immediately. And so I'm like, all right, so then I start praying for him. And I'm praying that, you know, that his stomach gets better and all that good stuff. So then another thing pops in my mind. And so it's like, oh, he's getting on drugs again. And it was a lie. It was a straight lie from the pit of hell, because I know better. Like I know better. Yeah, I know that's not true. And as soon as I heard the enemy say that, that made me even pray even more for him. And, you know, and I just started covering him with prayers of love and righteousness. And, you know, and I just started praying heavily for him, you know. But you see how easy the enemy wanted me to get offended to him? He took a very little thing, one little word. Shut up. Took that one little word. And he was joking when he said it, you know, and took that one little thing and twisted it into a whole nother thing. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes us to get fighting brother against brother, you know, and that's, you know, because we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ in this house. And so, you know, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to fight against each other. So I'm going to share with you some weapons that the enemy uses, okay? The enemy uses division. It's one of his key weapons. He uses gossip. He uses anger. He uses bitter, because that's what I was doing with John. I was getting angry with him. You know, I was, and Danielle tried, she called me 3 times. I wouldn't answer the phone, nothing, you know, because I was praying for him, you know, you know, so, but bitterness, anger, division, gossip, those things the enemy uses, okay? Yes. And that's his weapons to get us distracted from the call that God has. You know, because if we're operating in those things, we're not operating in the Lord's power. We're not operating the Lord's work. We're not operating in the Lord's will. We're operating in his will and the enemy's will and our own will. Because sometimes it's not always the enemy, okay? Sometimes it's just our own natural nature, you know. And you know, that's what happens. We get, you know, we get mad, we get aggravated, and then things get twisted because then we're messed up, you know. And that's what happened with John. It started out something simple, and then frustration and aggravation started to build. And you know, and I know that's not cool. So the Lord also showed me about David. Okay? So David was a man after God's own heart, right? And they had a giant in the land named Goliath, right? And they tried to clothe David with this armor that wasn't his armor. It wouldn't fit him. It wouldn't work with him. He could not fight Goliath with that armor on. So we cannot fight the enemy if we have the wrong armor on. So, you know, and the Lord gave him a stone and he killed Goliath. You know? And that was a giant that was in the land. And there's giants that are in the land that are trying to win. They're trying to conquer. They're trying to destroy. And it took a young boy to say, you know what? I'm gonna take care of this giant. I'm gonna take care of the enemy. You know, because God gave him the courage to stand up to the enemy. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to put the enemy in his place because God has given us the power to do that. God has given us the anointing to do that. God has given us the weapons to do that. He's given us all those things to do that. And, you know, so, and Saul and David, you know, they it's interesting because Jonathan, David's best friend, Saul's his dad. Okay? And Saul wants to kill David. It just blows my mind that Saul, you know, his son is David's best friend, and his dad wants to kill David. Like I read that a couple weeks ago, and it just blew my mind. I'm like, huh, interesting. You know, David's best friend is his dad wants to kill him because he was jealous, and that's another work of the enemy is jealousy. You know, there's all kinds of works of the enemy, but we have to be aware of the adversary, because what's the Bible said? He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes to kill, steal, destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life, and life more abundantly. You know? So Jesus said, I've come to give you life and more abundance. So Jesus has come to give us more. So when the enemy is knocking on our door, guess what? We're walking the right place, because sometimes, you know, we need to know who our enemy is, what our enemy is, how our enemy works. Because if we don't know those things, how can we battle him? How can we beat him? We can't. But if we know how he's working, and we know what he's doing, and he know what he's saying, and whispering this little stuff in our ears. And saying, oh, you know, this guy don't like you. That guy don't like you. You know, Jesus don't love you. Jesus don't care about you. He don't care about what you're going through. You know, that's the stuff that the enemy whispers in our ears. And that's why we have to cover ourselves all the time. We have to cover our ears. We have to cover our mind. So when those things start coming in, we can say, Jesus is the loudest voice that we need to hear. Jesus is the loudest voice that we need to hear. You know, he's the one that cancels out the enemy. He's the one that fights our battles. You know, there's a song, this is how we fight our battles. How we fight our battles is with Jesus, our word, our worship, our fellowship. That's how we fight our battles. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest things the enemy wants to battle is our fellowship, because he doesn't want us to be together. He wants us to be off in a corner, all by ourselves and alone. So you know, and that's the biggest tactic of the enemy. But guess what Jesus said? I want you to come together. I want you to come together. You know that old song, "Come Together Right Now." You know that old song. I believe that was from the Lord. Because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come together. So guess what? Then the enemy can't win. But if we're all alone in our corner, guess what? He can beat us down with oppression, anxiety, stress, depression, all that stuff he can beat us up with. But if we're not alone and we get on the phone, because I had to call John and apologize to him. And I told him I was sorry. And that's what we need to do as brothers in Christ. You know, if we have an issue with somebody, we need to go to that person and say, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, and we both apologize to each other, you know. And even though it was just a little thing, that's what we need to do. We need to go to each other and say, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean what I said. I didn't, you know. And that's what we need to do. We just need to be real with it, you know. And I'm going to say this even as well. If you've given a prophetic, if I've given you a prophetic word and it's been wrong, please come let me know. Or if you see, or if there's an issue, please come to me and talk to me. Because I'd rather get it straightened out than the enemy take something and cause an offense. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants us all to get offended at each other. Because I'm telling you guys, and I know, because I've been praying and I've been talking to the Lord, and God's got great things for the church, not just for our church, but the church abroad. Because I know many churches have been getting attacked. Okay? Many. Because he's getting ready, the enemy is getting ready to lose something. I don't know what the something is, but and the Lord's getting ready to do something really good. I don't know what it is, like the Lord hasn't specifically told me, but you know, when the body of Christ is under that much attack, that tells me he's threatened. He's threatened and he's bothered. Okay? So, you know, he's getting ready to lose. And he knows it. And Jesus is showing up on the scene. And Jesus is doing stuff. You know, he wants to set the captive free. He wants to set us free. He wants us to be loved by him, you know. And that's the number one thing that Jesus has really been talking to me is about love. You know, because we can cast out demons, we can heal the sick, we can raise the dead, we can do all that. But if we have not no love for each other, guess what? We're a sounding gong and we're not worth anything. You know, but if we're loving each other and we're taking care of each other's hearts, then we're doing the will of the Father. That's what we're doing when we do that. You know, when we're coming alongside each other and praying for each other, you know, and saying, you know, what's going on, or just praying for each other. Because sometimes we don't need to know what's going on. Sometimes all we need to do is pray, you know, because sometimes that's all Jesus wants us to do is pray and be there, you know, and cry, or whatever it takes, you know, whatever he wants us to do, we do, you know, and I'm going to go back to our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty. They're mighty, guys, of pulling down strongholds. They're mighty of healing each other's brokenness. They're mighty of setting the captives free. The weapons are mighty. You know, the sword of the Spirit is mighty because the Holy Spirit lives in every single one of us in this room. You know, and we need to hear the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's one thing I've been, you know, praying over myself, praying over other people, that Jesus would be the loudest voice that we hear. That all the other stuff would drown out. Because all the other stuff doesn't matter. You know, Jesus is what matters. Jesus is the number one thing that matters in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our soul. And I'm telling you, we need the Spirit and the Word together. We need the Spirit and the Word together. We need to know our Word today more than we've ever needed to know our Word in our life. We need to eat that thing like it's our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we need to drink that thing like we're thirsty for water. We need to eat and drink that thing like no tomorrow, okay? And, you know, so I think about David and all the war that he went through, all the battle that he went through, and all even the mess-ups that he had. You know, he still was a man after God's heart. You know, and God, and he had to repent. He had to repent some things, you know. He had to get real with God. And sometimes that's what we all have to do. We have to get real and right with God. And sometimes that's an easy thing and sometimes it's not. One of the other weapons I wanted to talk about that the enemy uses is unforgiveness. Because if we have unforgiveness in our heart, then we're jacked up. And I had that. I had that when I first came here to the Gateway. I had a lot of unforgiveness built up in my heart. And I had to give that to Jesus on a weekly basis. On a weekly basis. I sat back in the back pew for a year and kept giving God my unforgiveness. You know, and there's a scripture that, because I was asking the Lord if he wanted me to say the scripture this morning, and he does. Because the Lord says if we don't forgive others, he doesn't forgive us. But the reason being for that, I'm going to share why. Because when we forgive, we're able to love. If we don't forgive, it's harder for us to love. You know, Jesus forgave all them people that put him on the cross. You know, and, you know, was it easy? Absolutely not. And I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. Sometimes it's a process. And I went through a process. I went through a 7-year process with my stepdad. And that was hard. And I had to keep bringing it to the cross, because Jesus loved me enough that he wanted me to forgive him. You know, I sat back there in that back pew for a year, had unforgiveness against another church member in another church. And the Lord told me, he said, if you don't get it under the blood, you're not going to be able to do what God wants you to do. And that's what I had to do. And I had to sit back there for a year and keep taking it to the Father. And every time I did, there was a layer that would come off. And then he started showing me an actual football and how he started stitching that football up. And this is what he told me. He said, I can't stitch the football all the way up until you go to that man and talk to him. I literally had to go to him and talk to him and tell him that I forgave him. And he forgave me. And we worked through, and now we're fine. I've talked to him several times since I've been here. And, you know, but that was a key thing. Because then after that, guess what? The Lord was able to stitch that football the rest of the way up. And I was totally healed. Amen. And then I was able to do the work of the Lord. Am I perfect at it? No. I make mistakes. Just to let you know, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're all non-perfect, you know. Let's just be real. We're all non-perfect. We all make mistakes. We all fall short, you know. But when we fall down, guess what? We got to get back up. Yep. And we got to dust ourselves off, you know. When we're hurt, we got to allow the Lord to heal, you know. When we're mad, we're angry, you know. Sometimes the best thing for us to do is just immediately go to the Lord. Because that's what I learned in that process with John. Because it had been easy for me to stew in that for a couple days, and then stuff would have been built more and more and more and more. But being I didn't sit in that thing for days and took it immediately to the Lord, guess what? The enemy wasn't able to use it against me or John. Neither one of us. You know? And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be real with one another. He wants us to get real with each other, you know. And it's like if we have an offense against somebody, the Bible says go to your brother. That's what the Bible says. Go to your brother and talk to them, you know, and try to get it took care of. That's what the scripture says, you know. And then if that doesn't work, the Bible says take another brother, you know. And that's what the scripture says. You know, and then sometimes there's people you have to dust off the feet, you know, and it's sad when that happens, but sometimes we have to do that, and I've had to do it not with believers, but with some people that are unbelievers, and try to win them and try to get them to come to Christ, and the Lord said, dust your feet off. Sometimes you got to dust your feet off and say, all right, Lord, let me put my focus in the right place. Let me put, you know, and that's, you know, we should be focusing on our families, because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to destroy the family. He wants to tear down our families, you know, And we've got to allow the Lord to give us the weapons to fight. You know, to fight. You know, he's given us the sword of the Spirit. He's given us the word of God. He's given us the breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the belt of truth. He's given us all these things. You know, we need to use them. We need to use them. And we need to know that we are children of God. That we are the righteousness of God. You know, that when we put on our armor, we're going to war. We're going to battle. Okay? And sometimes we have to battle and sometimes we don't. And that's completely okay. So when you don't have to battle, you still keep that armor on. You still wear that armor because you never know when that battle's coming. You never know when that test is coming. You never know when that struggle is coming. Because it's like sometimes it's like a like you'll be doing all right, and all of a sudden it's just like wham, out of nowhere. You just get smacked, you know? And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to knock us off our strong place, you know. And that's what he tries to do. And when we're grounded in the word, he can't do that. He cannot win, he cannot have victory, because Jesus is the center of our foundation. When our foundation is built on the rock, nothing can come against it. You know, but if our foundation's not built on a rock, we can get tossed here and there, here and there, here and there. But when we're grounded on the rock, we're not going to get tossed all around. We're going to be able to say, when the enemy comes with anxiety and depression and all that stuff, we're going to say, guess what? Get away from me. Get off of me. Leave me alone, because you don't have no authority and you don't have no place over me. You know, God has given us the authority to do that. And yes, we do need each other to come do that with. But we can do that ourselves. We can tell the enemy, leave me alone, get away from me, get out of my ears, get out of my eyes, get out of my spirit, get out of my heart, because you have no place there. You know? And then we can start saying, Lord, I need your hope. I need your peace. I need your rest. I need your joy. I need all these things, you know? And he will give them, you know, because he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom, you know. And I was thinking about Jesus, because we just passed Easter, you know, and it's like Jesus went to hell and came out of there victorious. You know, he took the keys to the kingdom. You know, he took the keys to the kingdom. And, you know, he was resurrected, you know. And now guess what? He's pouring down his love and his Holy Spirit for us to do his work. You know, and that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to stop. He doesn't want us to step out. He don't want us to share the gospel with anybody. He wants to shut our mouths. And we cannot allow that to happen. Okay? Because we're the ones that can allow that to happen. And we cannot allow that to happen. I'm the one that can allow that to happen. I have allowed it to happen before. And I've got to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to allow that to happen ever again. Because the Lord has given me this mouth. The Lord has given y'all a mouth, you know, to speak, to pray. We all can hear the voice of God. We all can pray. We all can talk to the Father. It might not be like mine. Everybody else has a different one, you know, and that's okay. But as long as you're talking to the Father, that's all that matters. And you're praying, and you're doing his work, and you're battling, you're seeking his face. That's all that matters. And love is the number one thing. The number one thing that because Tim's been preaching on for the last several weeks is love. Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says, you know, no greater love than there is that a man would lay down their life for the brother. No greater love, you know. And that's what Jesus has been really, really talking to me about. What time we got? Okay, I'm gonna end with this, and then I'm gonna have a prayer team come up. So, I'll spend a time with the Lord, and the Lord says to me, "Go listen to Larry Randolph." And this is a guy I used to listen to a long time ago. I went to one of his conferences, and I just there was something I liked about his spirit. And so the Lord says, go listen to his message. And so I go listen to his recent message, and he's talking about the Song of Solomon. And all he's talking about is his love for us, the love for the church, and I'm just getting totally rocked by the Lord, totally. And so the Lord starts talking to me. And he says, guess what? Love hasn't been at the forefront of what you're doing. He said, love's been in the middle of what you've been doing. He said, you've been operating in the gifts, but love hasn't been the forefront of what you've been doing. And I felt like, I didn't feel like that was a spanking from the Lord. I felt like that was encouraging from the Lord. I really felt like the Lord told me that, so that way I know what to do. I know to operate out of love instead of just like, all right, I get up here, I get to pray for people, I get to pray for healing, get to pray for... But man, if I'm not loving you with everything I got, then guess what? I'm not doing the Lord's work. I'm operating in myself. And the Lord does not want me to operate in myself. Okay? And this is what I want to do. So if whoever's on prayer team, if you guys would come up here. So these people are going to be up here to pray for you. And I know I would usually ask if they got words of knowledge, but I feel like the Lord wants to do something different. Okay. So if you've been struggling with any of this stuff that I talked about this morning, you know, let somebody pray with you. If you've been struggling with anxiety, depression, any of that, you know, or if you just need more love of the Father, you know, let these people pray for you. If the enemy's been trying to battle you with division and, you know, discouragement or bitterness or anger, any of that, the Lord doesn't want you to leave here this morning carrying that out of this building, okay? He wants us to leave it right at the foot of the cross. And there's no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation, okay? And Jesus said, you know, that the greatest thing he asked for us to do is love one another. That's what he asked of us, to love one another. And that doesn't mean we're perfect. So we're going to do that. But actually, I'm going to actually, do any of y'all got any words?
No.
No? Nope. All right. So I'm just going to close out in prayer, and if anybody needs, and if it ain't for any of those things, he needs prayer for something else, they're willing to pray for that too. So I just thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for every person that's been in here, just hearing what you have to say, and just pray that you would just pour out your spirit on every one of us every single day, and I pray that you would just touch everybody's hearts and minds, and just let them hear your voice clearer than ever. Let your voice be the loudest voice that they hear, and just pour out your spirit on every person, Father, this week. And I pray that you would just bless them and keep them close to your heart, keep them near to your heart, protect them as they drive back and forth to work or wherever they may drive. I pray that you would protect them, and I pray also that you would keep the kids that are traveling back from the shop safe. I pray that you would keep them protected as they're coming back, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just pour your blessings on every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.